Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to make or help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I am welcomed in once again by Stephen Debo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on, BJ?
Man, I almost fumbled that intro, but still found it somehow, you know?
Found it. Brought it back in.
So, hey, look, man, we're actually recording a late Thursday afternoon podcast right before opening kickoff tonight against the New Orleans Saints and Jacksonville Jaguars. Stephen, how are you feeling about the Saints currently, man?
We'll move on. Let's continue on.
Got you.
Look, honestly, Pete Carmichael needs to be fired. Dennis Allen needs to be fired. I hate to say it about other coaches, but they need to be fired. I think Dennis Allen's record as a head coach, going back to his Raider days, he's somewhere along the lines of 18 and 40 something, 18 and 43 or something like that. And Pete Carmichael is just, he's kind of like Mike McCarthy, right? He can't evolve. He don't know how to evolve into the NFL. You watch the Cowboys and Dak, and they've got playmakers all over the field on offense. And on first down, they run it every single time. Up the middle, I formation, just like clockwork. And it's so hard to watch, and I hate it so much. And as a Saint fan, to see, you know, Derek Carr, who I think is serviceable enough when you got a good defense and good players around him. You got Alvin Kamara, you got Michael Thomas, you got Olave, you got Taysom Hill, who's the best Swiss knife in the NFL, and we can't put up 20 points a game. We can't do it. Mm. We've scored 20 points a game twice this year, maybe, and dating back to two seasons ago, we've done it twice. You know, we hadn't done it many times over the past two or three years. So it's ugly. It's really ugly. It's time for some change. But that's just my opinion. So I'll get off that. I'll get off that soapbox.
Okay, so what you're saying is you feel like Kamara did on the sidelines when Jameis Winston was talking to him this past weekend.
That's what it is. I don't know, man. Something needs to happen.
All right. Well, hey, on a more positive note, Stephen, week six just wrapped up. Man, how did your teams turn out this past week?
Man, week six was a pretty good week for me, BJ. Probably my best week on the year in Dynasty. Redraft dropped back to 2-1 instead of the sweep this week. 10-8 overall there. Dynasty, though, 10-2. 10-2 this week. And I still consider that with, you know, three rebuild reloads. Maybe drop that number to two. Not real sure, but I'll still stick it at three right now. 39-27 overall, BJ. So good week. Good, really good bounce back week to get back in the right side of things there, BJ. What about you?
Yeah, man. So redraft, I actually dropped a 2-1. Had a tough loss in one of my leagues, but it finishes out as 12-6 overall in redraft, which I'm perfectly fine with. Sitting atop the leaderboard in all three of those leagues. And then Dynasty, I am 5-6 right now, with four of those being rebuild / reloads. And so an overall record of 28-38. Overall, wasn't a bad week at all, Steven.
Yeah.
Real quick before we get into this episode, man, you had a blockbuster trade in one of the leagues, Steven. Let's talk about that for a minute.
I did. We had a big blockbuster trade, and we'll go ahead and talk about it now. Kyler Murray was involved, and Kyler Murray's back, right? Activated from his practice, activated off the PUP to his practice window. So I don't know if, did he practice today? I hadn't seen BJ. I've just been wide open.
Everything I've been seeing is limited.
So limited practice today, but he at least got supposedly some work, and he's 21 days, I think, and I think they have 21 days to put him on the active roster, and I feel like that's coming. I feel like we can probably see Kyler Murray starting in 2 weeks. But BJ, yeah, the trade, man, was Kyler Murray, Ja'Marr Chase, Drake London, and a 25 first for Hurts, CD, and Keenan Allen. And BJ, I took the Hurts side there, and I'm trying to win this league. And I thought it was a fair trade overall for both parties involved. The one guy, I think he was kind of on the fence of if he wanted to try to win and not. And I still think he can. His team has quite a few guys on IR right now, and if he gets those guys back, I still think this guy can win, especially if Kyler comes back and does anything. And London is actually coming on. He's hot right now. So, you know, who knows? But I just couldn't pass up the upside of Hurts there with his rushing ability that he does and all the rushing touchdowns. I just couldn't pass that up, and so I think CD's a stud. I probably have him closer to Chase than most people do. I think if Mike McCarthy gets out of the way in Dallas, that CD could really become something with Dak there. And then Keenan Allen, we've talked about him all year long, BJ. This year, next year, maybe, he's going to be a target hog. He's going to hog targets. He's going to score points, especially in PPR leagues. So I just couldn't pass the opportunity up for those high elite leverage scoring weeks from those players.
Hey, man, Steven, I like it as a win now, man. It was definitely a blockbuster trade. And like you said, I think it turned out good for both parties.
Yep, I agree.
Steven, let's go into the news and notes, man.
All right, dude. Before Thursday's game against the Broncos and the Chiefs this past week, where the Chiefs won 19-8, by the way, there was a little bit of drama between Steve Smith and Jerry Jeudy. Previously, on his Cut to It podcast, Smith had made the comments that Jeudy was a jack, just a guy. During warm-up, Smith approached Jeudy to apologize to Jeudy, and Jeudy's response was, "Ninja, I don't mess with you," end quote. And this led to a Steve Smith rant on TV. It was really worth a watch. He gets on live TV and he says, "I'm sorry, I said you were a jag, just a guy who is an average wide receiver. They used a first-round pick that isn't doing anything. I hope today you actually show up in a way that you haven't shown up in the last couple years since they drafted you. So if you ever got a problem with Agent 89, I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver that they will eventually move on from. When teams call me to ask if they should trade for you, I will say, no, don't trade for Jerry Jeudy because he is mentally unstable to handle constructive criticism. Who watch specifically if you can be a wide receiver. He's a tier three," end quote. And following this exchange, Jeudy finished the game with a 3-reception, 14-yard line. BJ, is Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver 61 on the year, just a guy?
Oh, man. Steven, I'm not going to lie, man. I watched this rant on Twitter. I think it was actually right before the game. And everybody in the comments was like, blow up game for Jeudy right now. He's playing with passion.
Yeah.
You know? And he got out there with a 3-reception, 14-yard game. And, you know, we can have the debate on this show, Steven, maybe another time, man. We ain't got time tonight. But we can say, you know, is it because of Jeudy that his numbers are so bad? Is it because of Russ? Is it because of this offense? Steven, this offense is atrocious, man. Right now, you do not want a piece of the Denver Broncos on any one of your fantasy/dynasty rosters, plain period to the point. Okay. Yep. I've got Javonte Williams in a couple of spots, and I hate it. I think the guy's talented. I think that he is a fantastic running back, but I don't want any part of this piece of the puzzle, man. And so, Jerry Jeudy, I think he does have talent. I think we saw that. Man, what was that one game last year when Cortland Sutton was out? He put up like, what, three touchdowns against KC? Mm-hmm. And so he's got talent there. We've seen it for years. We saw it when he was at Alabama. But the thing about it is he performing up to that potential right now? Absolutely not. Right. And like I said, I think the blame can be spread everywhere in this offense. Would I go to the extent of saying he's just a guy? Yeah, that's tough, man. But now, am I saying he's a superstar right now? Absolutely not.
Yeah, BJ, you're right. The only guy I want a part of on the Broncos team is Russell Wilson. And just for the simple fact that they're probably going to be losing, he's still going to be throwing, and he still can probably put up some modest QB2 numbers for you as far as fantasy football. But the other guys, they're just too – it's just too sporadic. You just don't know. You don't know who's going to show up. I definitely don't want Jeudy over Sutton at this point. It looks like Sutton might be if you had to play a Denver Bronco receiver, I guess it would be Sutton in my eyes. I don't want any of the running backs, although I am starting one in a redraft. I hate it. Like you said, I just hate it. But it just is what it is, and I agree with you. I don't think Jeudy is just a guy. I really don't. I think he's talented. I know there's some trade rumors swirling around on Jerry Jeudy over the past couple of weeks. So who knows? Who knows what could happen with Jerry Jeudy? He might be traded. He might go somewhere else, and he could thrive. Who knows? We'll see. But I do think Jerry Judy's got talent. Don't know if he's a superstar just like you. Don't think he probably is. I do think he's probably a solid wide receiver two in fantasy on a good team. That's where I'm at on him. Going into week six matchup against Washington Commanders, Desmond Ridder, BJ, was 31-0 at home between college and NFL starts. That's a crazy number, isn't it? 31-0.
That's ridiculous.
The guy hadn't lost a home game in college and NFL. Well, that ended. The Commanders ended that streak by a final score of 24-16. The impressive part that you need to make mention of about Ridder is that he finished the game with 300-plus passing yards for the second straight week. Is this second-year QB one to keep an eye on moving forward?
I don't feel comfortable with Desmond Ridder's future productivity, Steven. I think that Arthur Smith, surprisingly, is throwing the ball more after that week one performance where, man, what was it? Ridder had like 2 fantasy points there for a while, you know? But, man, he's actually kind of letting him throw it a little bit. Kyle Pitts is getting involved. Drake London, as you just mentioned, is having a fantastic couple of weeks. But as far as Desmond Ridder, Stephen, me and you actually talked pre-show, and I think he's one of those players where if you've got him as a QB2, QB3 this year, you're okay, I guess. But as far as that long-term value, Stephen, who knows if this dude has a job next year? You know, I mean, he's a second-year quarterback, but even that, like, I'm not comfortable with him long-term.
Yeah. BJ, I think my thing is on it, the Falcons are 3-3. And so if they're wanting to go another direction, they got to start losing some games because at 3-3, they're not really in a great position to draft a quarterback in the top of the draft, right? And I don't know their draft pick situation. I just don't know that. And the schedule's not super hard coming up, BJ. They got the Bucks coming up this week. They got the Titans the following week. Then they got the Vikings, who are not great. They got the Cardinals. Who knows what's going to go on with them? They got the Saints, who aren't playing great. They got the Jets after that. So the schedule is not just a gauntlet. And so I think the Falcons' defense is good enough. I don't know, BJ. I don't know what they're going to do, because if they keep winning, they'll be out of position to draft one. And I don't know that they'll trade for one. I don't know that they can move Ridder. I just don't know. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what the dynamic is. I don't know what they really believe in. Do they really believe in Ridder? I don't know. But he keeps throwing for 300 passing yards every week, BJ. If that continues to happen, we might have a different story come 3 or 4 weeks from now. Who knows? Sure. The P.J. Walker-led Cleveland Browns upset the 49ers this past week, BJ. What about that? The P.J. Walker-led Cleveland Browns. Did you hear me correctly there? Upset the San Francisco 49ers. Isn't that wild? That's a little wild. 19-17 on Sunday in a game where Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey left the game early. Purdy finished with a mediocre numbers, 12 for 27. That's not mediocre. That's pedestrian numbers. 125 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, he's been a product of some of the best offensive playmakers around him, BJ. Is he correctly valued as the QB11, according to KTC?
Absolutely not, Steven. I ain't in this camp, bro. you can't tell me that Brock Purdy, I mean, yeah, he's in a fantastic system. He has some of the greatest weapons in the NFL right now. Absolutely get it. He's in a Kyle Shanahan offense. That's awesome. You know? But man, when you break this down, Steven, I'm looking at KTC right now. QB11. Here are some quarterbacks underneath him that are ranked below him that I would take over Brock Purdy in a heartbeat. Okay. Bryce Young, Jared Goff is close. Kyler Murray is QB15 on here, Stephen. Deshaun Watson, QB17. Dak Prescott, QB18. I would take every single one of those quarterbacks over Brock Purdy currently.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely.
And my thing is, Stephen, I've been in the camp, man, that if his value truly is this elevated, sell. Okay. I understand, like, if you're a win now team and all that, man, but look, Purdy. Let me pull up his numbers real quick, Steven. Just give me 1 second, man. I should have been more prepared for this. But, man, Purdy, when you look at his fantasy production, yes, he's helping out all the people next to him, but here's his finishes here recently, Steven, okay? 18 points, 13 points, 24, 24, 35, and he finished with 8th this past week. He finished as the QB1 in 3 of those 6 matchups. But my question is this, Steven. When you have your quarterback, your so-called QB11 on KTC, putting up an average of 22 fantasy points. I mean, you want more upside than that, right? I mean, I understand he had that 35-point game against Dallas, but 3 of those passes were 3 touchdowns to George Kittle, which haven't happened again, you know? And so I'm not in this camp. I do not think he is a QB1 in Dynasty. Get that junk out of here. Man, if you truly see him as that, then kudos to you.
Yeah, I agree with you, BJ. I think if you own him, you need to sell him unless you're, you know, maybe dead red win and he's really, you know, moving along your team. I just don't know, BJ, but he's not the QB11. I agree with you on every single take you had. I'm taking Goff over him. I'm taking Kyler Murray over him. I'm taking Watson over him. I'm taking Dak over him. And maybe some more. I don't know. But yeah, I completely agree with you. The Zach Wilson-led Jets came out of nowhere and beat the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles this past week, 20-14. The week of upsets seems like one thing we need to make
note of. Pause real quick, Steven. You know, two of the wins that Zach Wilson has this year, is against the was it the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills?
No, they lost to the Chiefs close. Should have won.
But they beat the Bills, right?
Close, beat the Bills, yeah.
That is nuts, man. Beat the Bills and beat the Eagles. Almost beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. So one thing we need to make note of is that AJB, he threw a little temper tantrum in week two, and he has put up 125-plus receiving yards the past 4 weeks in a row since that temper tantrum. He hasn't finished outside of wide receiver 13 at the position. On the flip side of that, since his sideline rant, Devontae Smith has seen a decrease in productivity as he slipped from a borderline wide receiver one, wide receiver two, into more of a flex option the past 4 weeks, averaging only 8.15 PPR points. BJ, what are we doing with Devontae Smith? Can you trust him as a wide receiver two moving forward?
Man, I like Devontae. I'm not going to lie to you, Sleven. I'm a big fan of the Slim Reaper, okay? But, man, I've got him in a couple of spots right now, man, where he's tied for, like, my wide receiver 1-2 with, like, a DK Metcalf on my team. You know what I mean? And right now, I'm not feeling great, you know? You're not seeing the productivity that you had last year. I know there was a lot of hot takes coming into this season saying that Devontae was going to be the better wide receiver long-term this season over AJB. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, man, I bought into that a little bit. I was like, they're going to be pressuring AJB all the time over there because he's that dominant alpha that Devontae's going to get some work. But my thing is, man, is can we really trust Jalen Hurts having two top elite fantasy options? I mean, Tua's doing it over there with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, right? But, yep. I mean, even that, Waddle sometimes gets left out. But here, for the last consistent past 4 weeks, Steven, Devontae's hard to trust right now, man.
Yeah, he is. It's hard. And BJ, I sent out multiple offers in the offseason for Devontae, and man, am I glad they all got rejected looking at what I'm looking at now, you know. And I still like the guy. Don't get me wrong. I like the player. But it's just kind of ugly what's going on there. And I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if they're playing to AJB's whiny crap. I don't know if Jalen Hurts isn't throwing the ball as good as he, you know, has. But it's very hard to trust. And I think if he's your wide receiver two, you got to be looking at other options there if he's your wide receiver two. BJ, let's go into some injuries real quick. Ryan Tannehill had a high ankle sprain. Unlikely to play in week eight following his bye. It looked pretty bad. I know he had an x-ray and he was on the sideline over there. Malik Willis came in and looked terrible for what it's worth. He came in and I was actually watching the game when he came in. He made one good throw on the first throw of the game. And then after that, it was just tuck and run, tuck and run, tuck and run, tuck and run. And it was not easy to watch, not fun to watch. And I get it, thrown to the fire there, but you got to be more ready, I guess you'd say. You got to be ready for that moment, and he definitely did not look good in my eyes. Justin Fields, dislocated thumb, doubtful for week seven. It's going to depend on his grip strength. How can he grip the ball? Who knows when he's going to be back? It's going to all depend on, you know, that kind of thing, like a pain tolerance. Can he grip the ball or not? But right now he's out, doubtful. Is he out? No, maybe it's just doubtful for week seven. I think we all know he's probably not going to play. Trevor Lawrence, knee injury. He's active tonight. They were going to put him through a workout pregame. I have not seen or heard, but I guess he's good to go, BJ?
Yeah, he's good to go. They just announced it.
Okay, Jimmy Garoppolo, back injury, will be out for week seven. Christian McCaffrey, oblique injury, questionable for week seven. Trending towards playing, but BJ, you want to keep an eye on this, man, because they play the primetime, right? They play the primetime. Is it Monday night?
I think it may be Sunday or Monday. One or two.
Sunday night or Monday night. So you don't have many options left, and you've got CMC. Obviously, he's a big part of your team, so just kind of keep an eye on that. Make sure you got a backup plan just in case. You know, maybe if you just need
Monday
to roll
night,
the
Steven.
Monday night. So, yeah, you're right there at the end of the week. Maybe you just need to – I don't know. I would have a backup plan, maybe roll the dice, you know, if you have to, if you feel like you have to. But, man, you need a backup plan there. Damian Harris, neck injury, doubt for week seven. David Montgomery, rib injury, out for week seven. Probably out for week eight from what I read. Their bye is week nine, so maybe back week 10 we'll see. Kyron Williams, ankle injury, expected to miss multiple games. Probably same thing week – I think he has a week nine or 10 bye. They said probably ready to go after that, so multiple – weeks for Kyron Williams. And then Debo Samuel, shoulder injury, questionable for week seven. Debo and CMC both avoided major injury, and I think they're both questionable but trending in the right direction. But again, Christian McCaffrey's and Debo Samuel's San Francisco 49ers bye week is actually next week, I believe. So, you know, they were saying, you know, I don't know if they'll play him this week, give him really 2 weeks, really 3 weeks to kind of heal up, including this week we're in right now, and move forward. BJ, let's move on into the sneaky flex plays.
Robin, let's take a minute and recap how our sneaky flex plays did last week. Stevens Roschon Johnson did not play due to not clearing the concussion protocol. We actually mentioned this last week, Steven. And one thing that you said was, if Roschon does not play, don't start. Who was it, Deontay Foreman? And I think that was a good call. My Gabe Davis, man, I had so much hype going into him going into this week, Steven. he finished as the wide receiver 84 with a stat line of 3 for 21 and 2 PPR points in a game where the Buffalo Bills were almost upset by the Tyrod Taylor-led New York Giants. I will say this, Steven. I saw a tweet this past week, man, that said, how crazy is it Josh Allen is one of the best players in the NFL, yet he always plays according to his competition. And I was like, man, that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
So, Steven, I'm going to go ahead and start this thing off with my sneaky flex play. My sneaky flex play this week is Joshua Palmer, wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers. Since Mike Williams has gone out with a season-ending injury, Palmer has seen his snap share percentage jump from roughly 60% to 97% this past week. In a matchup where Herbert was throwing the ball 37 times, he targeted Palmer 7 times, where he finished as the wide receiver 38 with 10 PPR points. I think Palmer has solidified this wide receiver 2 position over Quentin Johnston, who hasn't done anything this year, who has been targeted a total of 8 times in 3 weeks. The Chargers play a high-powered divisional rival Kansas City Chiefs team this week, where they're going to have to throw the ball. I expect another flex-worthy performance from Joshua Palmer.
Yeah, BJ, I agree with you. Quentin Johnson, I like the player, and I actually saw a clip on Twitter just this today on Quentin Johnson. Me and you were actually talking about him, and I saw a clip on him, and it was just showing some of his off-the-line work. He looks good. I mean, he's quick, he's fast, he has explosiveness off the line. I just don't know if they have maybe their timing yet. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But I don't hate him. I just agree with you that Palmer's better right now. I like this play. I like this flex play, BJ. Me, myself, personally here, I'm taking a break this week. I gave you guys a guy who didn't even play. So I got to take a step back, BJ. I'm going to let you handle the sneaky flex play this week. I'm in on Joshua Palmer as my flex. BJ, let's move on to underdog real quick and recap my picks last week. Wasn't a great week. Isaiah Pacheco, I had over 16.5 rushing attempts. BJ, he had 16. Vegas called. Vegas made the call, right? Missed by a half a rush, BJ. And it's brutal to watch. Brutal to see. Russell Wilson, over 33.5 passing. That was a complete miss. I mean, I don't even know how either. I mean, they're getting killed the whole game, and he somehow only managed 22 passing attempts. Make it make sense, BJ. The one lone hit I did have was Patrick Mahomes, over 274.5 passing yards. He hit with 306 passing yards, BJ. So I had a 1-2 week this past week. Moves me to 7-7 overall. BJ, do you have anything for us this week in underdog?
No, man. You know what? I'll take care of the sneaky flex play, Steven. You take care of the underdog segment.
Hey, man, let's do it. Look, this is what I got this week, guys, and nobody's even going to hear this, but if you listen to the pod, just know that this is what we're doing and this is what we had. We're going to push this out immediately when we get done, so maybe if you put it on, like, double speed, we can get it in before the game tonight. But my underdogs this week, BJ, are Derek Carr, over 32 passing attempts, and Christian Kirk, higher than 51.5 receiving yards. And I know this game is just literally 30 minutes from now, 45 minutes from now. We're going to push it out. I'm going to send it to you guys. I'm going to tell you to hit 3 times on the play so you can just hear our voices go as fast as possible. And maybe you can get to this segment and get these plays in before they happen. If not, you listen to it tomorrow, and I'm going to be 2-0. And you're going to be like, man, next week I got to get in on Stevens underdogs. So Derek Carr, higher than 32 passing attempts, BJ, and Christian Kirk, higher than 51.5 receiving yards. Christian Kirk thrives on man-to-man defense, and the Saints play a lot of man-to-man defense. I see him going over this. And again, Derek Carr, the Saints, I don't know what they've been doing, man. Derek Carr's had 50-plus last week. I think he had 38 or so the week before that. So I like this primetime night to throw the ball around a lot. Give me both of these plays. Give me the over.
I like it, Steven. Take it to the bank, man. So look, guys, we want to take this time to just thank our listeners. We appreciate each and every time that you guys click play on this. And even if you listen to it at 2 or 3 times speed, man, we appreciate you guys. Follow us over on Twitter. My handle is at AfroDynamics116. Stevens is at SDeaton24. The pods is at LOL Dynasty Pod. I think we're going to have to rebrand a little bit in the offseason, Steven. We're going to come up with something.
We've talked about it.
But, man, we hope that y'all have a fantastic week, man. Hope that y'all continue making the moves that you need to. Man, look, guys, we're to that point now, man. You got to be in or you got to be out. And so evaluate your team, figure it out, make some moves, get your junk together, man. Y'all have a good night.